That working? Is it on? Am I on? Okay. Gene Huff got revival, didn't he? So much so he was caught up so much into it, he was fixing things at the church properly yesterday. That was awesome. I'm trying to bail you out with your wife there, brother. Yeah. Book of Colossians. My wife and I generally on Sunday mornings heading over here, I kind of bounce a few things off of her just to keep me out of more trouble than I get into. I told her this morning when we started out, I said, I'm going to get in trouble today. She said, don't. Now, she's a lot smarter than I am. I didn't say intellectual. I said smarter than I am because she'll not say some things that I will. I'm going to get in trouble today because I'm going to talk about wives. So you guys help me out, all right?
Amen.
Come on. He's already bailed. He has already bailed. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody move over here. But hang on. Hang on, husbands. Or wives. I'm going to talk about husbands, too. There we go. All right. I got one going. All right. I'm going to get in trouble because, you know, the only examples I have are my life's examples. If I give you third person examples, it really doesn't have any weight to it, you know. So all I have is the things of how I did, good, bad, and indifferent. Okay, and so take that with a grain of salt. I'm not saying that the way that I chose to do it's right, wrong, or indifferent. The way that you chose to do it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying, as the Word of God points out here to us, there's some things that we're to do that God commands us to do. How you do it is will be justified or not one day, right? And a lot of us can only know whether we did right or wrong by looking back over our shoulder and seeing how it was. We're coming to the end of the book of Colossians, a great book. It was four chapters. I figured we'd be about 3 or 4 weeks in it, and we've been about 4 or 5 months in it. So it's been a very, very enlightening book of the Word of God. This week, as I studied through, I thought, man, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm going to tell you some things that I've done in my life. And again, no reflection on any of yours, but as I say, we kind of broadcast this out here. If it lands on you on accident, sorry. Brush it over there on that one next to you that was supposed to get it, okay? Paul tells us here about family guidelines. He's going to talk about the role of the wife, the role of the husband, what the children are supposed to be like, what we're supposed to be as employees, and what we're supposed to be as employers. Kind of covers everything and everybody here. And basically, I mean, we could just, I'll give you this and then we can all just fellowship for the next 45 minutes. Be Christ-like in everything you do.
Amen.
Whether it's working or whether it's imploring people, whether it's being a husband, a wife. Some of us are still children to our parents here. So, all these things were to be Christ-like. So after we pray, Colossians chapter number 3. Lord, I do thank you again for allowing us to be here. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it's not just words on a page, but Lord, it's words that we could take to our heart. Father, I pray for each one that's here. Lord, those who've been here for the revival. Lord, again, and not that you would revive anyone but me, Father, and that's my prayer that Lord, you'd just fill me with your Spirit, that I wouldn't sin against you. Lord, that you'd be able to use me in a greater way. Father, again, be with our message today. Lord, help us to take it to heart. Father, just do a check on our own hearts. Lord, continue to be with Dr. House as he, Lord, stirs us up. Lord, and he stirs us up for you. We thank him for that as well. In Christ's name, amen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul just jumps right over and starts talking about the family. He says, wives, Who's he talking to? Wives. I appreciate you the other night. It's not real difficult when you just read the words. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. That word submit is primarily a military term. It means to rank under. Doesn't mean you're a slave or anything like that. God created the wife as a helpmate. I've told y'all numerous times, once or twice out of the physical year, my wife goes and spends time with her folks or whatever, and my world is upside down. I don't understand it because she don't do anything when she's around anyway, but when she's not there, I told y'all, I'm not saying this directly to y'all, I'm just telling you my life, okay? But whatever it is she doesn't do while she's there, it really doesn't get done when she's not there. And it messes my world up. You know, I as I study, certain people come in mind. And I think about people. I think about the Lassiters. I told y'all I was going to get in trouble. Miss Lassiter tries so hard to keep him in line. Am I right? Y'all got to get with me. Yeah, see, what a good wife, you know. He's supposed to be doing a certain way with medication and stuff, and she's right there on him. And I mean, and that just encouraged my heart to see that these two are one and have been for so many years. Something that I look forward to. You know, I'm pretty well a newlywed in here. I've only been married 26 years. But the wives are supposed to submit themselves to their husbands. I'm not going to get off into intellect or anything like that. But you understand that Eve was deceived. She was deceived. And God said the man needs to be the head of the household. That's God's words. I make all the decisions at our house. It's not to say that I don't take into effect, you know, her coaxing. I'm getting better. It's not to say that I don't take that into effect. But good, bad, or indifferent, I make the decisions. And I stand up for that. I believe that's the way God has it. God wants organization, okay? No chaos. He wants a systematic way of things. He says here very plainly, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and it is fit in the Lord. If it's fit in the Lord, that's where we want to be. We want to be what the Lord says is fit. Wives, encourage your husbands. You know, Job's wife, she showed up and she said, you know what? You just need to curse God and die. She didn't know what was going on with Job. Job didn't know what was going on with Job. She says, I've got it. I know. You just need to curse God and die. Wives, encourage your husbands. He may be going through something he don't have a clue about. Encourage your husbands. Again, all I can do is relate to my times in my life. Most all of y'all know, probably with the exception of Dr. House, I was a rodeo cowboy. 32 years of my life. That's the longest I've done anything besides live. But my wife encouraged me in that. And I'm just now seeing how difficult that must have been. My little boy decided he wanted to ride bulls. That's the worst thing that ever happened in my life. I thought that would be so neat. And I'm telling you what, I couldn't handle it. I was an absolute basket case. I went and watched my brother's grandson 2 weeks ago ride, and I just looked up. I said, God, thank you my son's not doing this. I went one time. My mom was my biggest fan and supporter. She called me one 4th of July when all the rodeos are going on, and she said, "Where are you going to?" And I said, "Well, I'm out at Pecos on Monday." She said, "If you'll wait, I'll go with you." This wasn't too long ago, was it? Yeah. So she and I went to Pecos, and I had a bull that kind of rolled me around out there and kind of knocked me around and stuff. And I went back over, and it was kind of a messed up deal, but she understood it. She said, "What was that all about?" Frank, basically, Mac Altizer told the bullfighters to stay back and let him have me. And so I just got knocked around, and my mom recognized it and said, "What was that all about?" And I said, "Well, it's an old running battle I've had with this guy." But I said, "I apologize that you had to sit here and watch your baby get done that way." And I was, well, in my 30s, but I'm still her baby. And I said, "Man, my son's not going to do this." And she said, "Yes, he is, and you're going to sit right here beside me and watch it." And I began to feel those feelings, and quite honestly, my wife has been there and watched them scrape me up into a bag and start all over. I mean, she's watched me go through some physical stuff that I wouldn't wish on anybody. And me saying all the time, "I only have 6 weeks and I'll be back going again." And her saying, yep, maybe 5. You know, a couple of instances that I can think about was we were at the national finals one year and I was trying to win the championship. And it was between me and another guy. And it got down to the last go around. And my wife came to me during the rodeo. She said, "I'm scared." I thought, "Man, we've been doing this for a long time, all over the country." I thought, "You're scared." I didn't understand, why are you scared now? I had the bull I wanted and everything else. Why are you scared now? And I asked her, I said, "Why are you scared?" And she said, "Because I know how bad you want it." Her thoughts were for me. She was being supportive for me. But wives, support your husbands. In whatever. He may not be doing what you think is the right thing to do right now, but I guarantee you it matters to him. I promise you it matters to him. I'm done with the wives. Let out a... Okay. That was close to it. But now we're at husbands. Verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Guys, we're going to take a little longer on us. Because I got a little more expertise on being the husband side of it. That word husband, we get from husbandry. Or we get the word husbandry from husband. It's a management of domestic affairs or resources. Some graphical description there. But look at what it says there. "Wives, submit yourselves. Husbands, love your wives." The wives are instructed and addressed at her will. The husbands are addressed and instructed at his heart. Husbands, love your wives. That love is the agape love. It's that Calvary love. It's the highest form of love there is. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." I believe you used that just yesterday. Think about that, guys. What did Christ do for the church? He gave himself for it. He gave his life for it. That's how we're to love our wives. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. I saw this a while back and I was just trying to develop a little more out of it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. We see where God created the heavens and the earth and all the things that were in it. 6 days in a rest. And then we get kind of a slice of detail in what's going on here in chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. Okay? So he's got the man. God planted this garden and he put Adam in there to dress it and keep it. That dress it and keep it is one of those deals of you go, what does that mean? You go, well, I know what it means, but I can't define it. So I looked up to dress it, and to dress it is to kind of straighten up some rows or make it appealing to the eye. But then he says, and to keep it. Now we get our word husband from this right here. We get husbandry, taking care of, and we get it that Adam was supposed to take care of this garden, to keep it. So I checked with old Noah in the dictionary, and the word keep, and I'm telling you, it just didn't end. I kept reading this. So I'm going to read some of them. Keep means to observe or pay regard to. Husbands, keep your wives. Listen to it in that thought about your wife. To observe with due or prescribed acts, ceremonies, etc. To celebrate. To follow, to adhere, to maintaining. To attend, as in church regularly. To take care of, or have and take care of charge of, specifically to protect, guard, defend, to look after, watch over, tend, to maintain in good order or condition, preserve, to supply with food, shelter, etc., provide for, support, to supply with food or lodging, to have or maintain in one's service or for one's use, to maintain or to cause to stay or continue in a specified condition or position. A bunch of years ago, Dr. House was at Lakeland preaching. And I'll never forget him saying this, and it's coincident, or it's not coincidence you're here. I hope you probably use this a lot, but he said, you know, you marry this sweet little old gal and you go through life and all of a sudden you look over there and there's more of her now than there was when you married her. I thought it was funny. Come on, guys. I remembered that. I don't know what else you taught, but I remembered that. To keep and preserve, to have or hold for future use, or have or hold and not let go. To continue to have or hold, not lose or give up. To stay or to continue in a specified condition. That's what it means to keep it. God put Adam in that garden and he said, keep this. And that's our job as a husband, is to keep, to have and to hold our wives. Back in Colossians, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. There's a bunch of reasons why this is good and good application. The number one reason is if they start having problem obeying you, they're going to have problems obeying any kind of authority, especially divine authority. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in here, that if they have problems with your authority, as they begin to grow and get intellect of their own, they're going to have problems with divine authority. And they're going to begin to listen to the wrong people, and they're going to get things put in their head that's going to be hard to combat. If they don't have that sweet spirit of obedience that's already in them. Some of us, again, are still children. My mom will tell you I don't mind her, but I don't have to now. No. I do. You know, that's what it says. Thank you, Vicki. Yeah, that's what it says. Brother Crawford made mention of this, I think, last night. Up until about maybe 10 years ago, I didn't think I could take my dad. About 10 years ago. I was still pretty virile and stout, and he was kind of waning at the edge of it. I think I could take him now. I'd never do that. I'd never do that because of my respect for him. But you know, we're to obey our parents in all things. And then it goes right from children into verse 21. It says, fathers. Again, who's he talking to? Dads. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Boy, here's one that for my 22 years of parenthood, has been the one that's really, really concerned me, is how do I encourage my kids without discouraging them? You know, what we want to break in them early on is their will, not their spirit. We want to break their will into submitting to someone else's will. Mainly our will or God's will. But we don't want to break their spirit, but we definitely want to break their will. I know we talk about it, the preacher's, youngest, that he just hadn't broke yet, and what we're talking about is his will. You know, he's very strong-willed, and he may have gotten to there now. I don't know. All of y'all think he's such a little angel, but he what? He got saved. Okay, well, maybe he did. I'm around him more. but it's something that's always gotten to me because, again, I want to encourage my kids to the utmost degree without discouraging them. And it can be done. It's just, how do we go about doing that? And the example that my dad did with me, man, all I wanted to do was ride bulls. I'm telling you, ate, slept, and drank it. My mom used to give me a dollar every day for milk and stuff. I'd save that dollar because it cost $5 to ride on Saturday. And if I saved every dollar and begged and pleaded someone to take us over to the rodeo, then when we got there, we'd be scared to death. Ride about a half a jump, fall off, but man, we did it another week, And from the time I was little, that's all I ever wanted to do. And my dad was a very great cowboy. He was world champion. He's in a couple of Hall of Fames. And honestly, all I really wanted was his approval. That's really all I wanted. I just wanted him to say, he had a guy that he taught, and the guy ended up being six-time world champion. And every time I was privileged to a conversation, they would ask my dad, who's the greatest guy you ever saw? Man, he'd just spit that guy's name out in a minute. You know who I'm talking about. He'd just spit that guy's name out in a second. And I thought, man, one day I just want my dad to say me. That would do it for me. And I tried, man. We went to a bull riding one time, and I had rode my bull and got done, and I was just standing around waiting, and my dad was talking to some of his old friends, and there was this real bad bull there, and guy got on him, he threw this guy off, and they all got talking about, oh, how great that bull was. Man, isn't he something? My dad just popped off, and he said, how much does it cost to see my son ride him? Hey, Dad, hang on. Can you ask me, I was 17 years old. He said, how much cost to see Kelly ride that bull? And that guy told him, he said, well, put him in a chute. So I just turned around. I didn't say nothing. I went and got my stuff. We came back over there. My dad walked by me, and he said, nothing fancy, just ride him. Okay, tell me how. No. I rode that bull that day, and we were leaving out, and I was driving my little old truck, and my dad said, man, you did good today. And I said, sir, because I wanted to make sure he said it, and I wanted to hear it again, really. I said, sir, and he wouldn't repeat it. Went to a high school rodeo one time, and I won the bull riding. Got the buckle and everything, and my dad said, man, you looked a little weak there at the end. I thought, my gosh, what do I got to do to impress this guy? You know, I wanted to say, hey, look, here, I won first. What else is there? And I didn't realize it until I got older that he was encouraging me. He was pushing me to the limit that he knew I could go. Because I promise you, when I was in high school or college, if he'd ever said, man, you made it, I'd have quit right there. I'd have leveled off and been no better. I was at the national finals one year. I rode a bull that if you'd asked me before it started, if I could have rode him, I'd have probably told you no. I rode this bull. My dad came in the arena and he said, I don't care if I ever see you get on another one, that's the best I've ever seen. And I could have quit that night. I rode for another 15 years like a stupid guy. But anyway, I finally pleased my dad, but it was in the, I was 32 years old when he told me that. But he kept pushing me and encouraging me, and that's what I want to do with my son. I want to get all that you can get out of him, without discouraging him. You know, I didn't get to the point of discouragement because I had that strong will to say, no, I'm gonna keep doing it until I can impress my dad enough. But I thought, man, what if I would have gotten discouraged? Well, I can't please him. I'll just quit. My wife will tell you, I quit every Sunday. I quit rodeoing every Sunday. I call her and I say, I'm never doing this again. Never going to do this again. I call her Monday morning. We'd be traveling back. I call her, did you start interest in them rodeos? You told me you was hush and interest in them rodeos. Well, I'm not going to quit. What are you doing? So we'd go again another week. But fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then he gets off the family and he starts talking about employees. Now, back then they were servants because the majority of them were slaves. But we can relay this to employees today. It says, servants, obey all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Man, I'm telling you what, I've known this verse most of my adult life. And you know, when you get back there and nobody's watching, are you sloughing off? Or are you saying, nope, I'm doing this to the glory of God in everything we do? You know, we do a lot of stuff around here that, and there's lots of people that work and don't get credit for anything, but I hope that's not what we're doing it for. I mean, you know, I go back to our recent deal, VBS, and there was a lot of you guys and ladies that put in a lot of long, hard hours, a lot of sweat and sometimes blood. I remember some of that. But you know why we did it? It was for them 12 little old kids that got saved, man. That's why we did it. It wasn't for any glory to us. It was glory to God. And that's why we do this. I hope that's why we do these things. If not, you're not going to get any blessing for it, you know. I've talked to several of y'all. I have a hard time of accepting compliments. I just do. Probably shouldn't, but I have a hard time with it because, again, if men praise you, everybody with me? So I I want the glory in heaven. Isn't that a better place? Store those things up in heaven. But it says, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Man, that's pretty self-explanatory. You're not to be busy or look like you're doing good when they're watching. You're to be doing that all the time. And to always do a good job. I know anytime I do anything church-wise, I think about those who built the temple and how perfect things had to be. You know, why? Because it's building the house of the Lord. You know, and if we do things, I know, you know, when we were doing some VBS stuff, I was very meticulous about certain things. That's just because I'm doing it for the Lord. You know, not because somebody's going to sit out there and say, hey, that looks like that's a little off. No, it's because in all things, not with eye service, because look at that, that's as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's pretty self-explanatory. That we do things unto the Lord, not unto men. Again, this would relate to employees today. In verse 24, here's why we would do those things. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who's giving the rewards out. You know, I tell people all the time, man, join me, we're working for Jesus. You know, that's who's giving out the rewards. My reward for VBS was not that one kid got saved, but a dozen got saved. And kids even after that. I mean, I hope y'all have heard all the stories that continue on. You know, they raised $167 in their little boy versus girl change money. We took that money and bought paper to print Bibles for people in foreign countries. VBS is still working, y'all. It's still working. Brother Wiggins, little girl was here, 10 years old. Her dad's a preacher. She went back home and said, I sat through VBS, I wasn't saved. I watched it, and I wasn't saved, and she got saved. You know? Where's Chad Pointer? Yeah, I won't even start, huh? Yeah. His kid set him down and said, Dad, here's a plan of salvation right here. Dad started crying. They freaked out. Why is Dad crying? We've never seen Dad cry before. Hallelujah, man. If nothing else, that made it for me. I mean, just, you know, I can't wait for VBS next year, huh? Are we ready? We're ready to start now, aren't we? We got something even better. We got Fall Festival, man. Woohoo! Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. This is the only time this title is mentioned in the Word of God, Lord Christ. And I tried all week. Somebody's got to... Is there anything with that? I mean, come on, you two guys sit together and talk about that. The Lord Christ. That's the only time it's ever mentioned in that, you know, in the Gospels, it's Jesus Christ. In the Epistles, it's Christ Jesus. But here, it's Lord Christ. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. Salvation is always based on faith. Judgment is always according to works, be it good or bad. We're not saved by works. That's through faith. But anytime there's judgment mentioned, it's according to our works. You know, I said this before. If you come and do stuff for the church so that somebody will pat you on the back or say, attaboy, you lost it. We was at Lubbock Thursday and Friday, and we met some of my daughter was working at a clinic there before she left, and a lady came in and she said, your daughter's incredible. I said, well, we kind of knew that all along. We're just sharing her with the public now. But the woman was really taken and moved by our daughter. As I was, my daughter said, she took us into this clinic. She worked at an unplanned pregnancy deal. I always get it wrong, but it's where young girls come in to find out if they're pregnant or not. We went into where they do the ultrasound and stuff, and my daughter said, see that chair right there? My job is I sit right there and I pray for the baby and the mother. And they write her a check for that. She said, I can't believe they pay me. She said, my job is to sit in that chair and pray for those. And I said, yeah, now you're going to leave and go to, you know, the secular world. And, you know, she's making an impact for eternity. But, you know, we move on. But, chapter 4 and verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. These are employers. You got people working for you? This is talking to you. It says, give that which is just and equal. And you're not to run over somebody. You have a responsibility, but you're not to run over somebody or or take someone advantage of someone in the workplace. Verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. If the wife is to submit properly to the husband, if the husband is to love his wife as Christ did the church, if the young person is to submit to his parents, if the parents are to keep from discouraging their children, if men are to serve their human masters as rendering service unto the Lord, and if the masters are to care for the well-being of their employees as accountable to God, then we must pray. Brother House mentioned it several times yesterday. And I know my prayer life is nowhere near what it needs to be. I know my prayer life now is nowhere what it used to be. And I thought about it this way. I need to apologize for y'all. There's some that I mentioned by name. Word Family, I mentioned y'all by name. Bachelors, I mentioned y'all by name. But some of y'all, remember I used to tell you when we was in the little class, I could go around in the seating chart in my mind and pray for you individually. We have 87 in here now. I apologize. I should be more prayerful. I should be able to mention those by name. You know, that we all come in here, we open up our hearts to each other and to God and say, hey, pray for us. Why do we do that? Because we know prayer works. Dr. House said yesterday, we get into the throne room of God. We're able to go into the presence of the Creator of the universe and lay our petitions at His feet. And we just don't. We just don't. I guess if it was a tougher thing to do, we'd probably do it. But it's so simple that we now, that veil was torn. We can go in to the presence of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And we don't. But if all those things are going to happen, husbands and wives, children, employers, employees, we must pray. Paul here says, pray and watch with thanksgiving. Jesus told them in the Garden of Gethsemane, pray and watch, and they didn't do either one. They just went to sleep. Man, we need to be more prayerful, and again, pointing at me, and you don't have to mention me by name today, but we need to be more prayerful with each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for, Lord, giving us the access, Lord, through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to just purpose in our hearts to be more prayerful. Father, be with Dr. House now as, again, he brings Your Word. Lord, stir our hearts. Lord, step on our toes. Do whatever it is that needs to be done, Lord, that would change our lives, Lord, and that we would do a better service for You. Lord, that You'd be able to remake us, and Lord, the clay that we are, that You'd be able to shape us, Lord, into doing what Your will would be in our lives, Lord, that we'd touch other lives. We ask these things in Christ's name.